Good morning. Today we'll read from Psalms 33, verses 12 through 22. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. From the NIV.
Morning. Thank you, worship team, for the music. It always amazes me how the songs kind of just dovetail into what God has planned for us today. If you would bow your heads. Most loving, kind, and precious Father, Son, and Spirit, God, your unity is paramount. It's something that is just flows from you, and we thank you for loving us. And God, as the message is given today, I seek your words, that you would use my mouth, but they would be your words, that we could literally hear each one, the words you have for us, that we could listen with our heart, our emotion, our knowledge and understanding, and God, that you would just strengthen that and make it come alive within us. These are yours. This message is yours, and just give it as you see fit. In Christ's name, amen. You know, the title, Do Not Be Afraid. When you're afraid, is this really what you want to be told? When you're afraid of something, do you want someone to say, don't be afraid? I don't think I like that. It's not something that I enjoy. What do you think when you're told this? When someone says, don't be afraid, we do have a thought. We do have a reaction. Sometimes it's internalized, but other times it comes out. And it's, don't tell me that. I am afraid. This is a very serious whatever. So that's that reaction of that. And then, is it even possible to accept anything from buddy that says, do not be afraid? If you can see them coming and you know that's what they're going to say, you're going to turn and go the other way. You don't want to hear it. It's too big a deal for me. It's reality. But in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32 through 34, do not be afraid. Whoops. Little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where is your treasure? You're told not to fear. That's a tough one. How do we keep such a command in a world as frightening as ours? The events that go on almost daily, we see the heinous crimes, the horrible lives, the typhoon that just hit China and India that killed so many people just this week. How do we keep this do not fear? If you were going shopping last week for school supplies in El Paso, nobody had a fear of going shopping. But how do you rationalize that in our world? We know who the Father is and that he is for us. He is the one that says, do not be afraid. And we know that, but how do we get from there to here? That's the real reach. Why should we fear when we know this is the truth? Why should we have fear of whatever situation when we know that God has our back? He has told us, do not fear. Again, that's two almost opposites for us to kind of rationalize and put together. The Father, whom we belong to, is pleased to give you the kingdom. Okay, there's part of that bridge that is coming across from do not be afraid from a God that says, you belong to me, and I am pleased to give you the kingdom. We're going to go through three. God has an unlimited aspects of his character, but we're going to talk about three. The first one is, the Father is pleased to give. What does that mean, pleased to give? Is there a joy in giving to others? The presence of giving something to somebody when they expect it is one thing, but when you give something to somebody that they didn't see it coming, maybe it was a surprise completely. And it's such a rewarding thing to give that gift. And it may be big, it may be small, it doesn't matter. But there's joy. And so God is that God that sets and knows it all. And he's pleased to give to us. Our Father gives out of the enjoyment of giving. It is his pleasure to give himself to us. I will not embarrass anyone in here, but there are members of this congregation that they have family members that have since died, that are no longer here, that have given and given and given to people anonymously. And it wasn't until their passing that a lot of the sharing of love and gifts was actually revealed. They didn't want the recognition. They just wanted to give. And how awesome is that? You know, God gives us every day gifts. And if we stop, we may say, thank you, God. But in a lot of ways, we just move right through it. But we receive it nonetheless. Those gifts come from a God that says, I love you and I want to give you things. You are my treasure. You are who I have things laid out for. Do you enjoy giving? I see some yeses and I see a lot of, okay. But when you can give to someone and not expect anything in return, you take expectation out of the equation. Because that's God. God gives to you without this expectation that you're going to return or give something back. Now, you want to, if you really, but it's your choice. But he doesn't stop giving because he's pleased to give to you regardless. Have you ever been forced to give something to someone? Now, I've got a couple of scenarios. One is pretty simple and one is kind of painful. You guys are very familiar with the little people in my life, my grandchildren. And if one has something and the other one wants it, or there becomes this, it's mine, no, it's mine, or you need to give this to your brother, you need to give this to your sister. It doesn't always the most harmonious. And we've all seen children, maybe our own kids, our grandkids, or other people's children. They don't always like sharing, if you want to say that. But that's kind of as a parent, you force them to share. Another scenario is maybe you've been through the settlement of an estate and your family cannot get along. And the court tells you what you will give up. How'd that go? It was painful, wasn't it? It hurts. And it hurts at the core level in that the sibling or the mate or whatever, you could not reconcile. So a court of law reconciled it for you. But you really never feel that healing process. You gave up part of your inheritance because of that estate settlement. Being forced to give isn't a real good scenario, is it? There's really not a winner in a forced gift. God's gift come wrapped with his pleasure over us. It's never forced. He just gives because he loves. And he gives, and he gives, and he gives. And there is no end to what God gives, because it's his pleasure to give. We enjoy receiving a gift from someone because it tells us that person takes pleasure in us. When we've received a gift and it's wrapped up and it's got your name on it, the expectation is it's not dirty laundry. It's not, we've kidded around of wrapping up some of our daughter's possessions and putting them in a gift form and giving it to them at their birthday because they left it at our home when they moved out. And that's not a gift. That's not showing a pleasant giver. Yeah, I got out of our house, but was it a win? No. We've toyed with the idea, but I don't think we will do that. I think it would cause way more problems. And it's definitely not a gift in the form of pleasure. A simple example I want to use is this. If you've been a recipient of a get-well card or a friend card or we love you card, and it has awesome writing in it because the manufacturer had put together and it's scripted, and maybe the person has spent more than 2 minutes looking at various cards to get just the right one. And that means something, but when they've taken the time to write in there a sentiment from them personally, which one means the most? Which one do you receive and go, wow, that's awesome? That's receiving a gift in a very special way. But that person gave from a gift of their heart, from themselves. They took the time to write in there a positive little something. And it touches us all. And God, through Scripture, has given us over and over and over scriptures that touch us. You've not experienced this. I have. I've read a scripture that it wasn't there the last time I read it. God slipped that one in somewhere in the middle of the last time I read it till this time. But that was that listening with my heart. That was listening to God giving to me in his pleasure at the exact right time. I was a recipient of what that is at that time. And I fully expect that there are still some scriptures in the Bible that I may have read through them, but I've never seen them, if that makes sense. I know that at some point in time, there is a scripture that's going to touch me at that point in a very kind and wonderful way, because it's his pleasure to give. The second aspect I want to talk about, the Father is a given by nature. He's a giver. It's what he does. It's not something he has to think about. conjure up. It's part of the DNA of God that says he gives. There's not a, oh, let's see, next month I need to plan to do, and I'll put this on my calendar. He just does. It's there. That gift from the Father. The Father is not obligated to give to us because of our qualifications. And that is a big deal. Would you like to be on the list that says I get a gift based on who I am with God? We would still get the gift. He still loves us. He doesn't worry about those qualifications because he loves us. And no matter how we live our life, no matter how much we try, we will fall short. And he's okay with that because he loves us. It's not about what we can achieve. Our lifestyle, although he's pleased when we are doing everything we possibly can, but we will never stack up to the criteria of what Jesus accomplished. It's impossible from a human standpoint other than Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit living in him, God on earth. And he did. And that gives us the ability to receive from God because he loves us. The Father is a giver by nature. He doesn't need to be conditioned or coerced into giving. And we've all experienced what it's like to coerce a gift. We've done it with a parent, maybe with a sibling, with our children. We have manipulated situations. With God, there is none. We do not need to fear that any strings are attached to God's good gifts. Whatever he gives you because he loves you and he wants you to have it. There's no strings. He's not pulling up there and you're this puppet that he's manipulating. He gives you a gift. Yeah, you have choices to make based on that gift, but it doesn't change the gift or the future gifts or his love for you. He's not a conspiring God who only gives to manipulate us into some agenda. The bait and switch. That's not God. He gives because he loves, and he continues to give to you in your life. Wherever you are in life, his gift is still there. God doesn't need our response, but we're the better for giving a generous response. When you receive a gift, if you never acknowledge it, did it diminish the gift? Kind of depends, doesn't it? But if you have acknowledged the gift, do you feel better about the whole situation? I think so. I think there is an inherent part of our human world that when we can acknowledge the gifts that come to us, how special that is to us, but it shows it back to the giver. When you received that card and it had a personal sentiment written in it, if you never expressed that you received it, it's one thing. If you acknowledge and say thank you, or maybe send a thank you note back and write in there something, that makes everything better. Did it change the gift? It's still a gift. The card's still there, it still has a sentiment, but it has a deeper value when we acknowledge that. But God doesn't need that response, although he loves it when we do respond. He's a giver by nature. The third aspect is the Father is a generous giver. He gives far more than anything we could ever come up with. You stack up the best thing you could give. Would it equal what God can give? In giving us the kingdom, he has given us everything. Everything. Your life, every day. The life and the companions and the people around you, every day. And he has given you a future that is forever. That's a pretty generous gift, isn't it? When you can get life forever in a wonderful scenario. And it happens because his giving of the kingdom is the gift of Jesus Christ. And we've gone through many times from birth to death to resurrection. All of the events of Jesus Christ guarantees us a future if we respond. I mean, he doesn't cut us off. He doesn't say, you're done. But he keeps giving that gift. Jesus Christ is still there every day, every moment of every day. That is the greatest possible gift that you could ever fathom or imagine. The gift of communion with the Father, that time, that special connection, enables us to participate in the kingdom. That time, that cohesiveness with the Father gives us that participation. We can experience joy and peace and hope. It inspires our response of loving him and loving others. Think about when you love other people, how they react. Some don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to be loved. But that doesn't mean we should stop, because God doesn't stop. He loves each person at all times. And he's asking us to inspire us in our response of loving him. And one of the greatest ways that we can love God is to love our neighbor, our family member, our friends, co-worker, even if they're unlovable. Maybe they're just unlikable, but they're lovable. It's just a hard reach sometimes. But God will give that to you because he's giving by his very nature who you are. Our identity and worth is grounded in our belonging to the Father, who loves us with a perfect love, casting out all fear. There we are, back to that fear thing. Our identity and worth is grounded, is rooted, is anchored to belonging to the Father, who loves us, a perfect love, casting out all fear. And in verse 33, again, and we'll go back, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, we're advocating you to go out and sell everything you have. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. Are you about giving back, giving to other people? If your treasure is in that, as a reference I made to some of our members from the past, their treasure was definitely in heaven. They love to give anonymously. Some of you may be in that world right now. But when you receive and you have no clue where it's coming from, the thing you do is thank you, God, because that's where it ultimately stems from. It came from God through another person. And you may never know who that person is, and that's okay. You provide for people in your life. You care about other people. What does not belong to the kingdom? Let's think about that. If it wears out, it's not kingdom treasure. If it runs out, it's not kingdom treasure. If it can be carried out, it's not kingdom treasure. If it can be snuffed out, it's not kingdom treasure. We let temporal things go as we receive the kingdom life for which we have been given. And those temporal things are the things that where our fear is rooted in. My job's on the line today. Or I've got more bills than I have money for the month. Or we don't have enough groceries to make the end of the month. Are those permanent things or are those temporal things? They're very real and they are very stemmed in fear in our life, but they are temporal things. And I believe me, I know what it's like to have that temporal thing seem very big, because it is. When you're seeing the end of the month and the money is not there. But there's a God that gives, and amazingly enough, you get through it. You know, the old saying, you go through a knothole backwards, but you still get through it. You might have a few scrapes and scars, but you get through it. Because God showed up every day. I know there are people in this room that opened their door and there was a sack of groceries on the porch. Nobody to be seen. There's a sack of groceries there. That was God. He used somebody, I think. Of course, he could have put the sack there himself. Might have been some premium food. I don't know. But you think about that. We let the temporal, we let every day work on us because that's where we live. We're not used to living in the kingdom, although we are. It's there. We're a part of that. It's a fixed part of our life. Have you asked yourself lately where your treasure lies? Have you looked at you personally? Not your spouse, not your neighbor, not your friend, not your sibling. Where is God's treasure in your life? That's between you and God. In Hebrews 1 and verse 3, the sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor. He's the gift that God gave to us. The exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of the spoken word. He accomplishes for us the complete cleansing of sin and then took his seat at the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. That is who has been given to us by the Father. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And that's between you and God. Do you recognize that your treasure is in Jesus? Do you recognize that Jesus is the gift to you, the treasure for you, that without Jesus Christ, we have nothing? We don't have a future. We're a social club at that point, just living life in fear of the reality of every day. But because of that gift of Jesus Christ, we can't imagine what that future will be. It is that big. Do not be afraid. Jesus lives in you. You have that greatest gift because the Father said, I love you. Maybe you resisted for a long time and said, yeah, God may love my wife or God may love my husband. He may love my friends, but he doesn't love me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Reach out and share how much God means how Jesus means to you. And do not be afraid. If you'd bow your heads. Father God, and Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, thank you. God, that is very simple words, but we mean that from the very bottom of our hearts. Thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ, and for your awesome love for us. And God, as we live each day, the realities sometimes push away that love because we become focused on what is right in front of us. But God, keep our minds and our hearts focused on you, that you would speak to us each day, that you would love each one of us each day. Give us the words to speak to other people about not being afraid because Jesus lives in us. The gift from you, God. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.